If you're into renewable energy and sustainable living, then the Solar Living Center in Mendocino County is your kind of place. It's a demonstration site drawing 150,000 visitors a year, the brainchild of John Schaefer, who's been at the forefront of the Back to the Land movement since the 70s. Today, the center has taken on another purpose. It's got a marijuana dispensary on the grounds, and if recreational marijuana is legalized by California voters later this year, the site could be a centerpiece of Mendocino's new tourist trade, the Napa Valley for weed. That's what Chris Collin wrote about in the April edition of San Francisco Magazine. He sat down with Leah Rose to talk about the past, present, and possible future of the Solar Living Center in this excerpt from her podcast, The Upshot.
John Schaefer, the man who started the Solar Living Center, you talk about that the reason he got into it was because after graduating from Berkeley, he lived for a while on a commune, and he was really one of the first people who was part of the Back to the Land movement. And then he eventually opened some stores and sold supplies where you can actually live off the land. But he ended up getting really, really wealthy. So how did that affect his environmental off-the-land vision?
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, to live in California now, when you hear about startups always talking about making the world better, and then they go on and talk about their social media app, he actually got rich actually making the world better. And one of the first things he did that was proved to be huge was discover this thing called solar. Of course, we had solar before that. You know, I think NASA was using it. But he was the first guy in 1979 to buy photovoltaic cells and sell them retail.
What are those?
Those are the solar cells you see on top of a house.
Okay, so the big panels.
The big panels, okay. Exactly, yeah. The thing is, back then it was really expensive, and the only people who could afford it were the people who had a bunch of cash in their pockets, and that was this community up in Mendocino and elsewhere in the Emerald Triangle that was growing weed. And it actually was this sort of little-known history that's starting to come out now that solar in this country, he was the first person to sell solar retail. Solar wouldn't have gotten started were it not for the marijuana growers out there who needed a way to be, you know, getting power off the grid. And vice versa, they would not have been able to get their grows going were it not for solar. So it was this sort of funny symbiotic relationship.
Can you talk about how that relationship between John Schaefer, people who sell solar, and the weed growers, how has that changed now that it's all so much more out in the open?
Well, you know, it's funny. It is and it isn't out in the open. I mean, we live in this weird moment where pot is, like, widely accepted, and it's, of course, legal in a lot of places and sort of legal here. But at the same time, you can still go to prison for it. So they have to do this sort of bizarre dance, which has given it, given that whole area one of the most idiosyncratic economies in California. And I'm going to not answer your question and answer a different question. One of the things that was interesting to me about this is that that's all about to pivot, right? I mean, we're going to have legal pot very soon. And so, you know, this relationship that we're talking about between the pot growers and, you know, operations like John Schaefer's up in Mendocino County, that's all going to change. What you have is a black market economy, and it's going to stop being black. So, you know, there's a big question mark hanging over the whole area. What's going to happen next?
And you wrote that John Schaefer has sort of been on the periphery of the cannabis industry for years, since the late 70s. But last October, he actually jumped into it directly by opening a dispensary up on the Solar Living Center property. And what's different about his dispensary?
Yeah, so this Solar Living Center has been there for 20 years, and a person should go check it out anyways because it's super interesting and fun. But what brought me up there recently was this new development, which is the opening of the Emerald Farms cannabis dispensary. To see, like, a new bud store in California these days is not exactly fascinating. But what was interesting about this place is, to my mind, it was Schaefer and his crew sort of taking a step forward into what the future of a post-legalization Mendocino County might look like. He already has 150,000 tourists a year coming to the Solar Living Center. You know, by bringing in the marijuana component, that sort of opens up this whole other avenue for people to get interested in. You know, what's when you're up there talking about what will become of this area, and the Emerald Triangle, that's Mendocino, Humboldt, and Trinity County. It's about 10,000 square miles that was recently estimated to be growing around 30,000 different cannabis gardens. That's, I mean, no one really knows, but that's one estimate. This is where, this is our marijuana breadbasket. So, you know, to go up there now and to talk about what the future of the economy will look like, a lot of people are talking about tourism, marijuana tourism, and you see that starting to happen in Colorado and in Washington State and elsewhere. To me, that was sort of it's an interesting question because, you know, the question of whether you can have the Napa of weed, as a lot of people say.
I love that. Yeah, that was great.
You know, it's interesting. Like, on the one hand, you can imagine all these, like, buses full of people who want to see how pot grows and try different strains. But on the other hand, I sort of felt like anyone who has spent a lot of time in Napa can sometimes feel like there's a sameness to some of these tourist operations. And the history in Mendocino County, for example, is just so quirky and interesting. It seemed sort of a shame that would get papered over with bland sort of tourism options.
I'm Leah Rose. This is The Upshot. And today I'm talking to Chris Collin about his new story, The Eden of Weed, for the April issue of San Francisco Magazine. You talked about Mendocino being a quirky place. Can you share any stories that you heard maybe from John Schaefer or from other people who have lived in the county for a long time?
Yeah, this isn't from John, but this is just something you just hear up there. If you know anyone who's ever worked, you know, picking on any of the marijuana grows or just anyone who lives up there, it's a pot economy, and that means it's a cash economy. So you hear about, you know, people having – one thing I would always hear about is people having refrigerators full of cash buried in their yards.
Wow. Or, it's like Tony Soprano.
Or walking around with a thouie in your pocket.
A thouie? Is that $1,000?
Yeah.
Ooh.
And so I think sometimes people are sort of cash rich, which shapes life in a weird way. One person I remember telling me, this is more of a Humboldt story I think she was talking about, but it might be hard for you to pay your mortgage, but because you're sort of cash rich on a day-to-day basis, you get this wad of bills and you go buy a kayak. So you can see how little decisions like that change the culture, like, you know, starting with little decisions like that and then sort of branching out.
Would you describe it as a hippie culture?
You know, I think when Rush Limbaugh closes his eyes and pictures Northern California, what he sees is the Solar Living Center. But the truth is, first of all, I don't really know what hippie means anymore. I mean, it's a super sophisticated place with cutting-edge technology and science addressing, like, obviously one of the most, if not the most, pressing issues of our time. So I'm a little reluctant to sort of, like, just sort of slap the hippie label on them. That said, you know, is there a guy down the street selling tie-dye shirts? Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
But the truth is, it's a complex part of California. You have NRA stickers too. I mean, it's rural. So you have this sort of mix of different subcultures.
Did you talk a lot to people about what's going to happen if marijuana does become legal?
Yeah, there's a great deal of anxiety about what will happen if pot becomes legal, pot becomes legal. You know, one of the questions is who's going to come in and make all the money? Is it going to be Monsanto? Is it going to be and then how are you know, how does that affect the mom and pop farmers? In a way, it's just another farming story in our country, with all the sort of heartbreak or worry about heartbreak that entails.